The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, it's the third highest cause of divorce in America. It's the reason one in six British couples sleep apart. And the menace in question, snoring. So what impact is snoring having on Irish relationships, and to what solutions are they turning for help? News Talk Sarah Madden has been investigating, and she joins us now. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Are you a snorer, or do you know? Because if you're asleep, unless you have a witness.
It's true. It's true. Often people don't know they're a snorer until they wake up with a dig in the ribs or something like that. I don't believe I'm a snorer unless there's alcohol involved. But I did grow up in a house with a parent who snored. And I always found the sound to be quite comforting, actually. You know, you wake up from a nightmare, you can hear someone snoring in the next room. I always quite liked the sound. But it certainly appears to be commonplace here in Ireland, within Irish homes and relationships too. Do you snore?
Oh, Jesus, I could lie, I could tell the truth. Yes, I do.
I snore like an absolute pig, to be honest. I'm really bad for it.
It's horrible.
It's woeful.
It's so woeful. Like...
No, I do not. And people who snore, I'm an Aries, it's not compatible.
Yes, everybody snores.
You think everybody snores?
Mm-hmm.
And what about those people who say they don't?
Liars.
What does it sound like when your partner snores?
Like a train leaving a station.
Like someone dying.
Along the lines of that. And then there's also teeth grinding sound in the mix. Like, she grinds her teeth. And that makes me up as well.
It's really bad.
Have you ever been given out to about it?
Absolutely, I'm married. Snoring, non-snoring, whatever, she'll find something.
I've been told about it. I don't know, given out to, but I've been said, you know, you snore. And I'm like, okay. Is that a, are you trying to tell me something?
If I put her in a certain position, like where I am kind of across, she kind of stops, but then she'll roll back over and growl as well as snore.
Punched a few pillows, you know, in hotel rooms, slept in the bathroom, you know. Worst noise in the world. If you snore, sort it out.
I actually think it's a deal breaker if I got with somebody who snored, either separate bedrooms or bye.
Is it difficult for you to get a sleep? Would you ever have to dig him in the ribs?
I don't dig him anymore because I've left the bed, the marital bed.
So when did you decide to do that?
10 years ago. Because it was just not feasible to save the marriage, nearly. It was a desperate move, but it proved okay. Like, it worked. It is a great idea. Why suffer? I mean, it's infuriating and debilitating, nerve-wracking. Mm. Why would you want that? You can always get together in a moment of madness. Overall, it probably works out better, really, in the end.
Some snorers there and their long-suffering partners. But Sarah, what exactly is snoring and what causes it?
It's actually a really good question, because I think many of us take it for granted that snoring is the sound of a really satisfied sleep. But depending on the quantum of the snoring, which is how it's quantified, the opposite may actually be the case, Pat. Adele Hurley is the director of the Beacon Dental Sleep Medicine Clinic, and she was able to tell me more.
It's generally associated with an overcrowded oropharynx, which is the space that is behind the tongue and descends downward towards the airway. Some people are born with a very congested oropharynx. Some people develop it later. Sometimes the tongue can be oversized in relation to its proportion of the anatomy of the area. And oftentimes in that area, when we gain and lose weight, it can be expressed as a tighter oropharynx for the normal inhalation and exhalation that we would expect. But at nighttime, when people are lying down, they make noise because the area is congested. The statistics vary in relation to snoring country by country. A lot of it would certainly be up in the 20% of people. Sometimes it can be a little bit higher. Definitely men would snore more predominantly than women. Often that runs in families. The snorer can have a poor quality sleep. Snoring is work. It causes a very high level of social disharmony. It can actually cause very fractious relationships. We would get a lot of calls on a Monday morning. Things like nobody slept on Sunday night. And when nobody slept on Sunday night and people are forced into a very busy working week, they're exhausted, particularly when there's children involved and people have very high pressure jobs. It can actually impact relationships very badly. So yes, snoring can be extremely disruptive at home and it can lead to a lot of problems.
Snoring-induced social disharmony, that'll be news to very few people at home, Sarah. But you've been looking at the lengths to which couples are going to avoid it.
Yes, I have. Gone are the days when women used to sew a golf ball into their husband's long johns to stop them rolling over for a good snore. According to Michael Flynn, listeners will know him better as Mattress Mick, Pat. More and more Irish people are creating what's called a snoring room. This is a second master bedroom where the offending party can snore away in peace. Mick says the couples who come to him are increasingly open about the decision.
For your second room or your snoring room, I'll show you what most people would go for. This here is a mattress with a topper on it. It's well priced. It's quite firm. There's plenty of support in it and it retails at a fairly fair price. Now, it's very, very difficult to sleep or to get a good night's sleep with a person who's snoring. So what is happening is people are coming into our store and they're looking for a mattress for either a spare room or a converted room. Some people, you do sense, you know, a certain amount of strain or tension or nerves. And I think when the decision is made, you can actually feel or sense the relief in both parties. So that they won't have to stay in the same room. It's happening now more frequently, particularly with middle-aged couples. It's very funny. In fact, they are not ashamed to say that they have to buy a new bed. The whole world is becoming more outspoken. Topics are being discussed that were never discussed before. Social media has played a big role in that, I think. But yes, certainly there is definitely a change.
Do you get a sense that people aren't just looking for a mattress or a new bed to stick in a room? Do you think couples are looking to also create their own spaces, their own bedroom that they can relax in, have their independence in, that sort of thing?
Yes, what you're saying is very true. People are finding it very important to have their own space, to create their own atmosphere, to have their wardrobe the way they want it, to have their chest of drawers the way they want it, to have the TV on or off. The sense of comfort, the sense of security, and it says, well, this is my space. And I think a lot of people feel that.
And that's Michael Flynn, Mattress Mick. It might provide for a better sleep, those separate rooms and separate mattresses, but I'm sure listeners will be a bit sceptical about whether separate bedrooms might be good for relationships.
Yes, certainly. I'm sure there will be people thinking that. And I know in the past, separate bedrooms would have been seen sort of as a precursor to a separation or even a divorce. I think that might be where the term Irish divorce even kind of came from. But I spoke with sleep expert Neil Stanley. He is the author of A Sleep Divorce, How to Sleep Apart Without Falling Apart. And according to Neil, it's couples sleeping together that's actually the novel phenomenon. He doesn't do it and he doesn't think we should either.
Absolutely. The only reason that you ever actually in the past slept together was because you were poor. The idea of sleeping together is a very, very modern idea. It actually only came about in the sort of mid-Victorian era, so about 150 years ago. So when people say, oh, you've got to sleep together because it's good for your relationship, and if you sleep separately, it's bad for your relationship, well, that's just patent nonsense. We know that the Queen and Prince Philip slept separately. Bette Midler just very recently said the secret for her 40-year-old marriage was that she slept in separate beds. Any sort of idea that we, you know, is good for pillow talk and for, you know, connection and comfort, yeah, absolutely, at the start of the night. But then when you decide that you want to go to sleep, rather than turning to the opposite side of the bed, why not go to your bed? Get a good night's sleep where you feel rested and you feel happy, rather than waking up wanting to smother your partner with a pillow because they've ruined your sleep at night. I did a study back in 2005 that showed that much of your sleep disturbance is caused by your bed partner, and that's both the movement that they make but also the noises they make, you know, like snoring. So sleeping separately, as I say, is the natural way of doing it if you have space. We know that poor sleep is linked to increased risk of domestic violence. You have more arguments, you lack empathy for your partner. None of this is positive. So sacrificing your sleep for this myth of sleeping together just seems to be bizarre.
That's Neil Stanley, author of A Sleep Divorce, How to Sleep Apart, Not Fall Apart. So instead of calling it a snoring room, maybe we should call the second bedroom a sanity room.
A sanity room, yeah, absolutely, especially if Neil is to be believed. And actually, Pat, there's evidence to show that now one in three middle-aged couples sleep in separate rooms. So there may be something to it. Having said that, not everyone is on board with the idea, especially as a coping mechanism for snoring. Here's Adele at the Beacon Sleep Dental Medicine Clinic again.
Sarah, I'd be worried about a snorer in a room on their own. That's not helpful in any way in relation to managing the problem. That's facilitating the problem. Often snoring can be coupled with cessation of breathing, and cessation of breathing indicates sleep disorder breathing, which is sleep apnea. They have to be investigated. To actually just put somebody or suggest that somebody should be out in a room on their own for the purposes of their noise, that's not a solution at all. I think one of the biggest things is having it investigated. Snoring is not normal. It should not be something that people are doing on a regular basis without having a visit to their doctor. A lot of GPs would refer directly to us to have their patients investigated for snoring as a symptom of sleep disorder breathing. I'm very passionate about it because I really feel very strongly that the quality of help that people can have with the right help for sleep disorder breathing, the outcomes are incredible.
So that's Adele from the Beacon Sleep Dental Medicine Clinic. Sarah, some of the comments you'll be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You may be interested to know, says one, that Ozempic cuts sleep apnea by 50%. But then I'm told by Frank in Dublin, with snoring, it's a lot down to weight. Basically, if you lose weight, it helps out. That's from Frank. So the two could be linked. Ozempic, you lose weight.
Yeah.
And you stop snoring as well as a side effect. And my husband snores so loudly on his back, on his front, on his side, you can hear him downstairs. So I now sleep in the box room since our kids have moved out. I think everyone snores if they've had a few drinks. That's your experience there, yeah? The question is it a zzzz kind of a snore or is it...
No comment.
There are very different snoring techniques. I lived with a snorer for a long time and he never tried anything to reduce it. He was very selfish. When I got to my mid-50s, I decided I had enough and I did up the spare bedroom and I sleep there all the time now. My sleep pattern changed in my 50s and a good sleep is important, so it's the very best idea that I would recommend to all. I snore if I'm lying on my back, so I try to lie on my sides whenever possible. I think it's a nasal passageway issue for me. That's from Peter. With snoring, it's a lot down to weight. Yeah, I've read that one. Snoring can often be caused by blockages in the nasal canal. Polyps in the sinuses are common and will cause the snoring. This can have many knock-on effects also. Seeing an ENT is advised. Over time, your health will suffer and even misshape your face.
Oh.
You'll start to develop a no-chin look when you... where you lose the profile of your face. That's from Robert in Cork. I remember Henry interviewing people on Grafton Street about snoring. One lady said her husband snored all through their long marriage, keeping her awake every night. She told Henry he passed away recently and she'd give anything to hear him snore again.
Aww.
That's from John, the napper. I used to snore. 2 years ago, I had surgery to have polyps removed from my sinus cavities. Haven't snored since and I can smell things again. I also slept in a bathroom in a hotel because of my husband's snoring. And it goes on and on and on. You've certainly touched a nerve, I think. Sarah Madden, thank you very much for that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.